Hello, everyone, and welcome to Large Old Cup. My name is Corey, and you are here with me now. So the podcast, we are on episode 29, which is great. But I hate to say this, we're going to have another episode about death, which I think if you did the fractions on it, I think comes out to like 1/6 of the episodes of the podcast have been about death in one form or another, which feels like a lot. But I want to take time not to talk about death of a family member or any of that stuff like I've done the last two episodes. I want to talk about the life and times of a writer named Peter David, who just passed away on May 24th. Peter David is a comic book writer who I would say has taught me the most about writing in general. So I there are several comic writers that I have been a fan of and idolized in one form or another. Whether and by idolized, I mean not necessarily like I just read their book and it was really good, but it's more of I took something away from the writing that I'm able to apply to myself creatively. So, you know, we've talked about Grant Morrison and their philosophical beliefs of how comic books are just another dimension that we interact with and that we are the gods of that dimension by turning the page and pushing these characters' lives forward. You know, that's one theory. And that's sort of like Grant's thinking process in view of like creativity in the world and how it works is incredibly influential to me. Other writers that have had that way is Denny O'Neill, who took the objectivist character, The Question, who Rorschach was based on, and all of The Question's worst traits were amplified with Rorschach. And he took The Question and he made The Question this character with like sort of a Zen Buddhist mindset that really changed the whole game for him. You know, it took a conspiracy theorist and made it one in who was in pursuit of the truth in one in a very different format. Denny O'Neill was also responsible for a lot of forward thinking, and sometimes to his detriment. Denny was a beatnik back in the day. He was an older man, you know, and he passed away a couple years ago. But he was of an advanced age. Another writer that speaks to me in a creative level is James Robinson, who is the writer of Starman. One day we'll discuss Starman and how much I love that character and that work that he did on that title. And I'm sure there's some others, but today we're going to talk about Peter David, who Peter David is responsible for writing a lot of the characters that you know and love. His work has been incredibly influential. He's created numerous storylines and characters that have been adapted to cartoons and movies and video games and whatnot. And Peter's tale is one about the comic book industry in general. And unfortunately, the treatment that creators will give you. So, I mean, we'll start off with that. We'll get that ugly business out of the way. Peter David died of a number of health conditions that he had, and despite all of the success that he had from 1985 to 2025 when he was writing, Peter David had to have GoFundMes set up to pay for his medical expenses. But when I say, like, the success he had, I'm not just talking about in the comic book industry. The Spider-Verse movie that came out that long ago, I didn't see it, but a lot of people who did loved it. The main antagonist of that movie was Miguel O'Hara, who is the Spider-Man of the year 2099. Big character, voiced by Oscar Isaac, created by Peter David. And like I said, that's just an example of storylines and characters that Peter David has influenced. And for him to have to set up a GoFundMe just to pay for his medical expenses is indicative of the problem with DC Comics and Marvel Comics. They have been operating under the same business model for decades, and it is one that is not necessarily fair to the creatives. Basically, as a creative, you get paid for your work as a freelance writer or artist, and that's what you get paid. There are no royalties that come along with your work. you do not, if you create a character and that character blows up and is in movies and stuff, you don't see an additional dime from that. You got what you were paid to write that series at the time. Ed Brubaker, who, phenomenal writer, check his stuff out. But Ed Brubaker, he created the Winter Soldier character. It was his idea to bring Bucky Barnes back from the dead. Bucky had been dead theoretically since the 40s, but probably closer to the 1960s if you look into Captain America's backstory that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby worked with. Long story, we won't get into it. But yes, the point of the matter is Ed Brubaker brought back Bucky Barnes, made him the Winter Soldier, and that character has been in like 9 movies and TV shows, and Ed Brubaker got a credit at the end of the Winter Soldier movie, and that's it. So all of that money that Marvel and Disney made, the guy who actually made the creative choice, the really daring creative choice, because back in the day there was a saying, like, the only, nobody stays dead in comics except for Jason Todd, Bucky Barnes, and Uncle Ben. And now two of those three are very much alive, but still. Peter David is an example of that. Jack Kirby was quoted with saying, "Comics will break your heart, kid." And that's just the truth of the matter. You put all this time and dedication and love into this craft, and you don't get to see the fruits of that labor. That goes to the publisher, that goes to the company that owns the publisher, and that's it. Now, that being said, as a comic book reader, you go in knowing this. You go in knowing that the business is not fair to the people whose work you're reading. And you make your amends to that in one way or another. Some people will prefer going the route of finding the independent creators or their titles that they work. Like, for example, Geoff Johns has set up this whole alternate world in Image Comics, which is centered around a character named Giger. And he's had a lot of success from that. But a lot of people know Geoff Johns from his work in Green Lantern and Justice Society and stuff for DC. He's getting a bigger cut of the pie with Image, and if those comics take off and they make movies and TV series, he's going to get credit for that. Robert Kirkman, another example of that. The show Invincible, the show Walking Dead, that's Robert Kirkman, And that was through Image, which treats its creators a lot better. But some of us are just suckers for the classics, And that's more of the camp that I'm in. But we're going to go back to Peter David now that we've got the ugliness out of the way, and we'll talk about his work. Peter David didn't just write comics. Peter David would write books. He wrote novelizations of movies like Batman Forever. He wrote a lot of books for Star Trek and Babylon 5 that took the characters and put them on these other adventures. And if you're like a fan of Star Trek and you've like watched a lot of the show, that was just even more stuff that you could read. Like, that feeling when you get done with a movie or a story and you have to leave that story and that movie and leave those characters behind that you fell in love with? Those kinds of books that used to come out a lot more frequently, it was like a godsend because you can still live in that universe for longer because instead of, just watching it, you're now reading it and you get to visualize it in your head and you get to decide what the new characters look like and you get to decide how, like, the ships and stuff and the interiors look with that guideline of the description that is provided by the author. So, I could probably spend that's like the one takeaway I got from the Stephen King book on writing. I'm not a fan of Stephen King's work to say the least. But his description of the writing process being magic is one of my favorites because he just encapsulated it. So Peter David did a lot of great work in extended universes in the world of Star Trek and Babylon 5. But when I think of Peter David, there's a couple of books that come to mind. Peter David wrote The Incredible Hulk for 12 years, and that is unthinkable in this day and age where creative teams get swapped in and out, within a couple of, maybe 20 or 30 issues. So back in the day, you could be a creative team on a book and they would just keep you on it if your stories were landing and you were making great sales, or if maybe the sales weren't good, but the editorial part of the company had faith in you that your stories were good enough that you could swing it back and get more readers, they would take more chances like that. That doesn't happen anymore. For example, in the X-Men books, they made this big announcement, even less than a year ago, saying, hey, we're going to relaunch all these brand new books, new number ones, new creative teams. And then three of them were canceled at issue 10. Didn't even get a full year, you know, because the sales weren't there. And I understand it's a business at the end of the day. And that's the unfortunate part of being a creative and having to deal with business. You have to deal with shit like that. But that was not the case with Peter David on The Incredible Hulk. 12 years. He created a lot of very iconic characters and moments. I think of him, I'm not a Marvel guy, but I think of him, I think of Aquaman, which he got Aquaman in the 90s, and he had that enviable task of, or unenviable task of, updating the character for the extreme 90s era of comic books, because Aquaman, forever known as the man who just talks to fish, Peter David had him grow his hair and his beard out, swap out the orange fish scale shirt for a gladiator pauldron, and had a villain take his powers from him and force his school of piranhas to eat his hand. Thus, Aquaman replaced it with a hook. And it was the most, like, badass thing ever. And it, like, really redefined him. He got, like, a new gruffer, hardened personality because of that traumatic event. And, you know, he was on Aquaman for several years. I think of Young Justice, which was a book that took the 90s sidekick characters and put them up, and it was humorous and a fun coming-of-age story about Robin and Superboy and Impulse and growing up and adding those characters to it and dealing with the pressures of one day having to fill in a role that you may not be prepared for or may not even want. Dealing with the expectations that come with potential, you know? You know, he had long runs on Spider-Man and Supergirl and Captain Marvel. And when I think of Peter David, though, my main character that I will always think of is Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man from the Marvel world. Multiple Man was originally created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, I believe, in the 1960s. He was a one-off villain of the Fantastic Four, where Multiple Man, as the powers would indicate, is a guy who can duplicate himself multiple times. And basically, his containment suit went wild because every time he bumped into something, he would inadvertently create a duplicate. And he had been growing up alone on a farm after his parents were killed. So he was not in a great mental place and went on a little small rampage until the Fantastic Four got to him and he learned the errors of his ways. And then the character was brought back to more prominence in the 90s when Peter David took over the X-Factor book. In the 90s, Multiple Man was the comic relief on the team. He was the prankster. He was the joke guy. Sharp personality, very silly, there for a laugh, but it was all a mask to cover up his identity crisis and, you know, his crippling depression and anxiety that comes along with a trait that got further explored when Multiple Man became the main character of X-Factor in the 2000s. So Peter did something really cool with Jamie, and that was he added this little twist that Jamie had the ability when he reabsorbed the duplicates into his prime body, he got to learn everything they learned. So Jamie made multiple copies of himself and then sent them to the far corners of the world. You know, some of them went to become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Some of them went to Russia and became a spy. Some of them studied philosophy. One of them became a Buddhist monk, you know, and he just pick up all these different skills and things that made him more versatile and not just a guy who could duplicate himself. But really what a trait that Multiple Man had that I really identified with is that Multiple Man had this inability to make decisions. He was crippled by them. Because if you can do everything, how do you decide just to do one thing? And it was something that Jamie struggled with in his book. And there were a lot of amazing storylines with Jamie Madrox that dealt with things like relationships and being the leader of a team when, you know, how can you make a decision for yourself? You know, how do you make a decision for other people that's going to affect their lives when you can't make a decision for yourself? And Peter David did a lot with mental health that I always admired. There were some really iconic issues of X-Factor where the team would have to go to these therapy sessions. And the storylines were called Examination or Re-Examination with the X-Pun, of course. And that's where you got to learn, where Peter kind of got to peel back the superheroics and dive into what made the characters tick. And I think the best example of that was character Quicksilver on the team. Quicksilver, who was in the second Avengers movie, played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, but Quicksilver has always been arrogant and haughty and a bit of a dick. And Peter David came up with an excellent, an excellent explanation for that. Quicksilver doesn't just run fast, he thinks fast. And the world around him is moving at a glacial pace in comparison to himself. So he gets frustrated because I think he's equated it to being stuck behind someone at an ATM that doesn't know how to use an ATM. And like all you want to do is get your money and move on with your day, but your day has been grinded to a halt by someone else's incompetence and ignorance. And that's why Quicksilver gets frustrated. And that's why he's a dick. That was really the strength that I have always admired about Peter David's work. Because it wasn't just the superheroics, it was actual character study. In 2006, Peter David put out a How to Write Comics book through a publishing company. I think it was like Boom or something. I want to say it's Boom. But I was working at a bookstore at the time. And I bought it. And I read that book multiple times. Because at one point I wanted to be a comic book writer until I kind of got an idea of what the business was like and the difficulties of breaking in and whatnot and realizing I just didn't really want to deal with that hassle. But I am a writer and a storyteller and a creative person. And Peter David's book was really great because he explained so many small, simple things. For one, there was a section about the main storytelling styles. So there are three tales that get told. All stories are the same story told multiple times through different lenses with different characters. And they are simple: man against man against nature, man against himself. And he gave very detailed explanations for what these meant and how you wrote them properly and what they could mean aside from the literal meaning. Another thing that stuck out in the book for me was the concept of the page turner. Every page should end with a cliffhanger, a small cliffhanger. Maybe somebody is talking and then you see a word bubble that comes from off panel. You have turned the page to see who just said that. Maybe it's a villain, maybe it's their friend, maybe it's a new character they've never met before. Something small like that. Keep people engaged. That's the point of that. It's not just to create, like how to make people turn a comic book page. It's the simple fact of you keep people engaged if you want them to pay attention. But the other thing that he extolled, the other thing I remember is the idea of conflict creates content. And that is, people do not want to read a book where everybody is getting along. So how do you create conflict? That's more than just here's your hero, here's your villain, and they're going to fight it out. Because that gets old after a while, it gets boring after a while. So when you do a team book, or you not even a team book, if you just have a character and you create supporting characters around them, you get conflict by having them be the exact opposite of one another. You create foils for your characters. And the better the character, the more foils you have, the better your character is going to be. And the example he gave was the Fantastic Four, which is topical because the Fantastic Four movie is coming out soon and people are excited for it. But like, we'll go Mr. Fantastic, super intelligent, has the ability to stretch his body, very flexible, and his best friend from college, the Thing, who is a rock monster man, who is not flexible, incredibly sturdy, and is also not at a high level of intelligence. So you're going to have conflict with that. You're going to have conflict between the very intelligent man trying to explain something to the simpler person. You're going to have the meat and potatoes, everyday man, struggle to relate to the super intelligence guy who isn't taking the time to understand things at a smaller level. Other example, the Human Torch and the Invisible Woman. Brother and sister. So you have family conflict immediately for that reason. But the Invisible Woman, her powers are literally to make herself disappear. She's quiet. She is a little meek. And then you have Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. His power is he can light himself on fire and fly through the fucking air, the ultimate attention grab. And he's immature and loud. So you have your conflict there, and then you have those character conflicts with the opposite end. You have the meat and potatoes guy, the Thing, who's no nonsense, and the practical joker, Johnny Storm, and the clash that you're going to have there. You have the married couple, the very high level intelligence man who can't stop thinking of the bigger picture, and his wife who's more grounded and is trying to like support him while also making him realize the smaller day-to-day things. That is the emphasis of conflict creating content. And so a couple years ago, I worked on a book. It was like 900-ish pages. It didn't really go anywhere, but it was an experience to write it. And I took that into effect. I made sure to have characters that stood at the opposite of each other. And part of the reason why that book was so many long pages, 900-ish pages, the characters were constantly bouncing off each other in a way that was natural and flowed. And so, to kind of bring it back to Peter, this is the kind of writing that he did. In comparison to a Grant Morrison, that is, the emphasis of everything is on the table, everything is in play. And Grant does these big, wild stories that are spanning multiple different continuities and do all this strange stuff. And then you have Peter David, who's going to do a more focused, grounded approach. Because essentially, X Factor is a book about relationships. It's a book about a team of very different personalities interacting with each other. It's a tale about somebody who can't make decisions for himself and struggles with that, trying to take care of other people, which is way easier for him than taking care of himself. Because he can help people decide what they want to do, because he comes at it with a lot of experience that they don't have. But when it comes time to take that same approach for himself, he doesn't know what to do. And obviously, that is something that is very personal to me. Something I struggle with a lot. So, Peter was on X Factor for a very long time, and he had his happy ending in the final issue, where everybody's stories were not necessarily tied up. For the most part, a lot of the supporting characters, he left them in directions that other writers could pick up and go with, or simply write off. But with Jamie, he gave him a definitive ending. He had him not necessarily choose, but find a person that accepted him and didn't want him to change. And he had a family on the way, and he retired to a small life. Now, comics being comics, obviously that was not the case. Jamie has been used in other storylines, but he's never been used the same way as Peter did. He's never been the main focus. He's been a side character. He's been in the background, but he's never gotten that same time and attention that Peter gave him. And I have to thank Peter David and X Factor for getting me back into comics. When I was a kid, the only comic books I read were what my parents could find at yard sales. So I did not have continuity. I did not have sequential issues. I had an issue of like The Defenders, and then an issue of Batman, and then an issue of Spider-Man. And these all ran from the years like 1970 to 1990, whatever. There was no. It was all over the fucking place. So in 2008, I was at a university that was not the one I graduated from, and I was living in a dorm alone. And I, for whatever reason, I fell down a hole where I started like thinking about comic books and how much I used to love reading them and looking what was currently going on. And I just started picking at random books that I ordered from a website called Midtown Comics, which is a comic book store in New York, because there was no comic book store in West Virginia, in Southern West Virginia at the time. And X Factor was one of those books that when I started reading it, I was immediately hooked. I still have that issue. It's actually in a box right now at under my desk. I'm looking at it, and it is I have to thank it, because comic books have been something that have been pretty consistent in my life now for almost 20 years. I have a whole podcast dedicated to it that I sit with my friends and we chat about random things. Which, be honest with you, it would be very easy to let that those relationships fall away because my friends live in, they live across the Atlantic Ocean. But, because we have this shared love of comic books and the shared love of getting on microphones and talking about them and rambling about them and making jokes about the baby juggernaut and, other dumb things, we get to stay close. And, I sincerely love those two guys. And if I did not have that issue of X Factor, if I did not read the work of Peter David, I would not have that. So, in a lot of ways, I owe Peter David more in the creative department than I owe Grant Morrison. And I love Grant. Grant is one of my favorite writers. His ideas and opinions are so wild and out there, but, Peter David was this very meat and potatoes guy who just loved writing comic books and loved writing science fiction, and that sort of love carried over into it. There's some controversies about Peter. He had some problematic opinions, especially on the Romani people. And if you want to dive into that, by all means, you can look it up. It's very easy to find. But this is a memorial episode for somebody whose work I've always admired and whose work influenced my own creativity in a lot of ways. So I don't really want to get into some of those more negative aspects about the man. So, Peter David, whatever happens to you after death, I hope you're, at ease. I hope that you're, at peace. I hope that you are doing whatever it is happens at the end of the day. Whether that is a heaven or hell or just simply non-existence, who knows? But a creative spark like that has to go somewhere. That creativity has to live on in one form or another. So we owe that to ourselves. I said the same thing during the David Lynch episode a few months ago. You've got to take that ball and run with it. That creativity isn't going to live in a bubble. So anyway, song of the week. We're going to go with a Scottish band called The Murder Burgers, and their song "My Head Is Fucked Again." It's a song I really enjoy. It's a song that I got to hear from them in Pittsburgh, where I made a trip. We'll talk about the Pittsburgh trip one day, I'm sure. But it's a song about childhood trauma and the effects it has on you as an adult, which is very pertinent to me at the moment. So I hope everybody out there, you are being recklessly brave and delusionally confident and hopelessly optimistic. And we'll catch you around Peter David. Check out his work. It's fun. Goodbye.